Hello, I want to welcome you to my broadcast today. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I pray today that you're having a marvelous day in the Lord and that you have chosen to get up and go to the house of God and worship Him on this Sunday day. And I pray that you're taking your family with you, that you won't let excuses keep you out of the house of God. Even if you have family events planned for today, you can put that aside. And the most important family event that you can have on this Sunday is taking your family into the house of God and hearing God's word. Please support your churches and back up the church. Go while we still have the freedom to do that. Daily our freedoms as Christians are being taken away from us. We must be diligent to guard that which God has given us and to stand faithful. I ask you to please not back off of your faith, but stand faithful to the Word of God and not be ashamed to proclaim yourself as a Christian, a born-again child of God. It is a serious hour that we're now living in, and we must be very cautious about the roads that we travel and the paths that we choose. We must choose the right path, the right road, and that road is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Right now, I'd like to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you wake us up in this hour that we're in. God, don't let us be asleep on the knees of the enemy, but wake us up, Lord, and let us realize what's hovering over us and the danger that lies in wait to those that compromise their faith and those that will turn their back on their faith and what trouble it causes. And, Lord, we know that if we reject your hand of mercy and protection, we're in trouble. And I'm afraid that America is doing that daily, but I pray for our great country and ask that you bring revival to our land. I pray a special for our leaders, Lord, and ask that you help them, please, to do the right thing, make the right decisions, and guide them in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And we pray, Lord, that you give us a leader in this country that will stand faithful to you and not back off of the Word of God. And I pray for those that are listening today that need a touch in their body, that, Lord, they need salvation. I ask that you give them revelation knowledge that they must be born again, and that God the Father, the only way into you is through your Son, Jesus Christ. There's not many ways into you, God. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. And that we must be asked forgiveness of our sins, that our sins will be washed away, never to be brought up against us again. Let people know there is life and abundant life in you, Lord, that you love us. You are a God of love. And you said in your word that you did not come to condemn us, but that you came that through you we could have life and have it more abundantly. Help us to receive that gift that you have given us this season, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I want to speak out of the book of Judges, and I want to talk about one in the book of Judges that we all hear a whole lot about. But I think it's a time that we're in now. The same thing that happened to this man that I'm going to talk about is happening to a lot of us right now in our country, a lot of leaders in our country, a lot of people. The same path that Samson went down, a lot of people are going down right now. And I want to go over that with you today in the book of Judges. And I want to start reading. I want to read from the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. But before I begin to read, I want to tell you something about Samson for those of you that are not familiar with him. Samson was a judge of Israel, and Samson was given a great gift. He was a mighty strong physical man. He had great strength. As we talk about the strongest man in the world, I guess we would have to say Samson. But his strength didn't come from a physical strength. His strength came because he was a Nazarite from birth. He was set aside for the honor and glory of God, and being a Nazarite, he was not to cut his hair or to take a strong drink and to keep himself from the evil. And that's the way it is with Christians today. We're to keep ourselves from the evil, to be set aside for the glory of God. And Samson was a blessed man. He led Israel, and he was a judge, and he was a great warrior. And the Philistines were afraid of him. He could defeat a whole army by himself. He was a mighty, mighty warrior. But Samson had a great weakness. Chapter 16 of Judges, starting with the first verse, it says, "Then went Samson to Gaza, and he saw there a harlot, and went into her." He went into a harlot, and he, well knowing that she was of the enemy camp, and he went into her anyway. He realized he was a strong man. He realized that the anointing of God was with him, so he was going to go into this harlot. And the Bible says that the enemy surrounded and they were laying in wait, and Samson went out, and his strength overcame them. And he went out at midnight, and he took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went with him, a bar and all, and put them on the shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is before Hermon. And then you would have thought that if you went into a woman that was in the enemy camp and they conspired and was laying in wait to kill you, that you would be smart enough not to do that again. But then we go down in here in verse 4, and I want you to see what happened. And it came to pass afterward, after all this happened, after he went through this, and remember before, Samson had married a Philistine woman, and that got him in trouble. And now he's back to his old tricks again. And then in verse 4, it came to pass that afterward he loved a woman in the valley of Succor, whose name was Delilah. The first part, he saw a harlot and went into her. He just saw her and desired her and went into her, and it almost cost him his life. He got up. He was able to go out and defeat the enemy. But this time, he loved Delilah. It says he saw her and he fell in love with her. And let me tell you, you just don't walk up to somebody and say, well, I love you. He courted her. He got to know her. He became intimate with her. And then the Bible says that he loved her. You see, when you flirt with the enemy, step by step, the devil draws you into a trap. And the Bible tells us that the enemy came to Delilah, and they said, we will pay you to entice him. Let me tell you something. When you're going into the enemy camp, there's an enticement that draws you in. And then you begin to lose your love for the things of God, and then the things of the world you begin to set your affections on and begin to love. And the enemy told Delilah they had a plot and a plan for Samson. And listen to me very carefully, you that are in places you shouldn't be and loving things you shouldn't be loving and getting yourself in places that you shouldn't be. This is their plan that they had for Samson, but it's also the plan that the devil has for you and for I, myself, that if we'll go into things and partake of things that we shouldn't be and go into camps we shouldn't be in. They told Delilah this. They said, we want to prevail against him. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you. They want to prevail against you, but they will entice you into their camp to get you into their camp to cause your senses to become dull and lulled away, and you begin to love, and they will lie to you, and you begin to love their way and to fall in love with them. And let me tell you something. The enemy will deceive you and tell you what you want to hear to draw you in and entrap you, and that's what their plan was for Samson. They wanted to prevail over him. They didn't want to be his friend. Let me tell you something. The enemy is not going to be friends with you. If they befriend you, it's just to get a hold on you so they can prevail over you. You've got to wake up and realize you better get yourself out while the getting is good. And then they told Delilah they wanted to prevail against him, and then they wanted to bind him. They knew if they could prevail over him and bind him, they could take his strength away from him, and he could not fight against them. See, the enemy knows if he can entice you, if he can show you a good time party, and make you think you're all it. When we were little children, we used to see somebody we thought was courting one another, and we would say, here comes so-and-so, love and marriage, and then the baby carriage. There's a little song that we would sing, but honey, you don't sing that anymore. Now you just say, here comes the baby carriage. The real love is not there, and the marriage is not there. They just skip over all that and go right to having babies. Let me tell you something. God's way is the right way, and God's way is the way that we should walk, and you need to keep yourself out of the tent and the dwelling of the wicked, and be careful what entices you. Be careful what you love. If it's not of God, it's not true love. And then they told Delilah, they said, we want to prevail against him. We want to bind him. And then we want to afflict him. Listen what they said. We want to prevail over him. We want to get power over him. Then we're going to bind him, and then we're going to afflict him. They had a plan against Samson, and they used a good-looking woman to work their plan to overcome a man of God and a warrior of God and a leader of Israel. They worked it through a good-looking woman and a woman that was going to entice him, and guess what? They paid her to do it. They said, we'll pay you to do it, that we'll pay you to entice him, to bring him in and find out his source of his strength, because we want to prevail over him. We're going to bind him, and then we're going to afflict him. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you right now. He's trying to prevail over you, and he's using that by enticing you with things that are evil and making you think that you're one in a million that can overcome it. You can just do a little this and walk away anytime you want to, but you cannot. If you keep messing in the enemy's camp and you keep fooling around with the enemy, the first thing you know, you're going to be prevailed over, you're going to be bound, and the enemy is going to be afflicting you. It was that plan that the Philistines had against Samson. Don't think it's not being put in order today over our country. Our enemy is in the land, and their plan is to prevail over us, and their plan is to bind us, and their plan is to afflict us, and that's what they're doing. Any enemy, let me tell you, you got to know your enemies. You got to know your strength, and the enemy only wants one thing out of you, to take your strength and power away from you so they can destroy you completely. But Samson's eyes was stronger than his physical strength. Let me tell you, a lot of you today, your eyes have got you in a lot of trouble. You see something, you think, that's going to be good. I want that. And you follow after the lust of the flesh, and you let your eyes lead you into something that you shouldn't be in, and it's going to cause you trouble. And Samson saw, first time he saw the harlot, he went into her, and then he saw Delilah, and he loved her. Oh, that's a trap. There's a program the devil has written already out for you. He's going to lead you into one place, and if that don't work, he's got another one standing in line to try to overcome you. Wake up before it's too late. Samson fell for the oldest trick in the book. I want you to know, then he went in, and as he laid on the lap of Delilah, she began to ask him questions. She said this, tell me where your strength lies. Tell me and where your strength is. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies, wherein that thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. That was a strange question to ask. If somebody came in to your house and said, where is your strength, and what will it take to afflict you and bind you? I don't know about you, but I think if somebody came into my house and they said, Blondie, where is your strength at, and what will it exactly take to bind you and afflict you? I would ask them to leave immediately, because I know that is a question you don't need to be asking. Let me tell you something. Words of love do not seek to bind and afflict you. Words of true love seek to build you up and make you stronger. Let me repeat that. True love does not find ways to weaken you and bind you, but true love speaks words to strengthen you and to help you. Samson was strong in his physical strength, but he didn't have too much smarts. You see, the more you mess with the devil, the duller your senses become. You can't comprehend what the enemy's trying to do to you. When you walk in sin, it blinds you, it deafens you, and you can't comprehend what the enemy's trying to do to you. You can't even see your enemy. You'll be lying in the lap of your enemy, listening to their words, and you don't even know where you're at, what you're doing. Is that not where we're at today? We're so dulled in our senses in our country today. We can't even comprehend what the enemy of our country is trying to do to us, to dull our senses, to prevail over us, to bind us, to take away our Christian freedoms, and to afflict us, and get us to the place that we cannot do the things that God has called us to do, and have to go underground to serve our God. That's the plan of the enemy of us today, as same as Samson, to destroy the calling of God that was upon his life. And that's what God is warning America, that the enemy is trying to take your anointing away, America. Wake up, America, before it's too late. Wake up, churches. Wake up, preachers, and preach the power of the cross and the repentance, and cause people to come back to repentance and come back to God and turn from their wicked ways and get out of the tents and the houses of the enemy and come out from among them and be separate, that we can be strong and united together and do the will of God and bring our nation and our country and our states and our counties and our families to where God would have us to be. But Samson eyes got him in the trouble, you see. When you take your eyes off of the calling of God and what God has done for you, and you put them on the lust of the flesh, you just a disaster waiting to happen. Let me repeat that. When you take your eyes off of your calling and what God has anointed you to do, and you put your eyes on the lust of the flesh, you are a disaster waiting to happen. I don't care if it's an individual. I don't care if it's a family. I don't care if it's a county, a city, a town, a state, or a country. When you get your eyes off of God and you get your eyes on the evil and the immorality and the wickedness, you are a disaster waiting to happen. That is a law. You can't go down that road and live like you want to and think God is still going to come down and deliver you. You have rejected him and pushed him away and will not allow him in. And Samson was headed down that same road. The Bible says that she kept asking him, where does your strength lie? And he would tell her a lie. Well, it's in this or it's in that. He was playing Russian roulette with the devil. He was playing Russian roulette and getting ready to destroy his own self. Let me tell you, when you play Russian roulette, you put the pistol to your own head and you keep pulling the trigger. And that's what a lot of you are doing right now. You're playing Russian roulette with your life. You thinking, I can do this one more time. I can take those drugs one more time. I can drink that drink one more time. I can lay in the bed of adultery one more time. I can sin one more time. But I come by to tell you, you playing Russian roulette with the devil. And you keep on, that chamber keeps on going around. And you're going to hit in the bullet. And it's going to take you out. You got to wake up. You got to shake yourself while you still can get out. And call on God, and he'll bring you out. But Samson fell for the oldest trick. He let his eyes, he let his heart be swayed with the words of the enemy. And he kept on. And the Bible says that in this scripture, it says this in verse 16, chapter 16, and it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words. Don't think the enemy is not going to press you daily with his words. It's the words of the enemy. Oh, we just love you. We want to be friends with you. I just want to know where your strength is. I want to know what makes you strong. Tell me, why do you want to know the start off? Why do you want to know what's going to weaken me? Why don't you talk strength in me? A lot of you have got friends that you need to let go on down the road. A lot of you got friends. Let me tell you, if your friends don't want you going to the house of God, if your friends don't want you praying, if your friends don't want you talking to them about Jesus, you need to let the so-called friends go. Because let me tell you, they are Delilahs in disguise. Some of you today are sitting right beside and in the midst of Delilahs in disguise. They have conspired with the enemy. They've been paid off by the enemy. They want to bind you. They want to prevail over you, and they're going to afflict you if you don't wake up. And the Bible says that her words urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. I want to read that again. It says, so that his soul was vexed unto death. His soul was vexed unto death. He kept listening and listening and listening to the words of the enemy. And she kept pounding and pounding and pounding on him until his soul was vexed unto death. And finally he gave in to her and told her that if anybody shaves my head, I will lose my strength. And then she made him to sleep on her knees. And the Bible says that she called for a man, and she caused him to shave his head, and then she, the Bible says, she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. A woman took the strongest man, and she afflicted him when he took his eyes off of his calling and his anointing and laid in the lap of the enemy. She began to afflict him. Then the Bible says that Samson began to wake up, and he shook himself, and he said, I'm going out like all the other times before. Now I'm going out, but he did not know that the anointing and the Spirit of God had left him. So many of you, the Spirit of God, you better wake up. Because you're playing with danger. You're playing with Russian roulette with the enemy. And one day you're going to wake up and find that you've lost the only thing that has brought you hope and peace and joy. And that's Jesus. There's no other life but in the life of Him. Guard that. That's the greatest treasure that you can ever have. But when you flirt with the enemy and you lay in the lap of the enemy and you talk with the enemy and tell him of your strength and give over the things of God to your enemy, they will afflict you. The Bible says that the Philistines took him, and when he began to shake himself, his strength had went away from him. And the first thing that the enemy, the Philistines, done when they got a hold of Samson, the first thing they done to him, they put out his eyes. They put out his eyes. See, his eyes is what drew him in. And then his eyes was put out. He was blinded. The strong man, the mighty ruler of Israel, was no longer mighty. The strong man that was anointed of God was no longer anointed. The strong man that people looked to and depended on could no longer be looked to and depended upon, because his eyes and his strength had been taken away from him, because he went into the camp of the enemy, and he laid in the lap of the enemy, and he gave away the things of God, and he sold it for a moment of pleasure. And that's what some of you are doing. You selling out for a moment of pleasure, and you loving that which you shouldn't be loving, and it's going to prevail over you, and it's going to bind you, and it's going to afflict you. And the Bible says that they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him. See, they told Delilah, said, we're going to prevail over him, and then we're going to bind him. And that's exactly what they done. They bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. They told Delilah that we're going to prevail over him, we're going to bind him, and we're going to afflict him. And that's exactly what they done. And let me tell you, the enemy has a plan to defeat you, and they're going to succeed if you don't get yourself out of the tent of the wickedness. You got to come on to God, repent of your sins, and receive Jesus Christ, and guard that which is holy in your life. I'm talking to a lot of preachers and teachers today. You've let down on your calling. You're laying in the lap of luxury and pleasure, and you let the things of the world and the flesh take you away from the things of God. You better get up and shake yourself and get back into the house of God where you belong, and quit your whining. A lot of you are offended and you won't go to church because somebody hurt your feelings. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Get over it and get in the house of God. Get over it, but the enemy has a plan for you. He wants to prevail over you. He wants to bind you, and he is going to afflict you, and you're going to end up in his prison house. But let me tell you what happened to Samson. Even though he went down a road he shouldn't have went down, one day as they were making sport of him, and yes, that's what you read that in the book of Judges. You read that the enemy made sport. They used him for entertainment. They laughed at him and mocked at him. When they wanted him, they spoke the words. They drew him in with the lust, and they drew him in and rubbed his head, and they drew him in and they enticed him. But then when they had him where they wanted him, the Bible says they made sport and made fun of him. And that's what the devil's going to do to you when you're laying in a gutter somewhere and you can't get yourself up no more. And when the devil has got you to where you can't even think anymore because the drugs has burnt your brain up, he's going to mock you and put you in a place in a prison house. But it's not too late for you. If you could just call the name of Jesus, he'll bug down and he'll deliver you and he'll bring you out. But you've got to wake up before it's too late, before your soul ends up into eternal damnation. But one day when they was making sport of Samson, see, they hadn't paid any attention to his hair growing back. But let me tell you, let me explain, his strength wasn't in his hair. The hair was just an outward appearance of an inward calling. See, he prayed. He came back to God and he asked God that in his death to glorify his name and that he could be able, the name of God would be glorified and he could take out more enemy. And that's what he did. He pushed on the pillars of the entertainment center of where the enemy was. And the Bible says that when he pushed on them, that the whole thing caved in. And in Samson's death, he took out more than that time that he lived. But let me tell you, that wasn't God's will for him to die that way. But you know what? When you play with sin, that's what's going to happen to you. A lot of you have got scars on you. A lot of you have got scars in your heart and your soul. But oh, before it's too late, don't let the enemy put your eyes out. Don't let the enemy put you in his prison. God can deliver you. And God can bring you out. God can restore you. But you've got to call on the name of Jesus. Samson was a strong man, but he let his eyes get him in trouble. Solomon was a smart man, but he took in many wives. He let his eyes get him in trouble. King David was a mighty king, but he let his eyes look on Bathsheba, and it got him in trouble. Adam was the breath of God, but he let his eyes cause him to get in trouble. You're no exception to the rule. There's a little song we used to sing as children. Little eyes, be careful what you see. There's a father up above looking down in tender love. Little eyes, be careful what you see. And then we say, little ears, be careful what you hear. Little mouth, be careful what you speak. Little hands, be careful what you do. And little feet, be careful what you go. That is a simple child song, but it's a song we all need to go and realize today. We need to be careful where you're going. Where are you going? I want to ask you, where are you going? What are you looking at? Where's your feet lead you? What you put your hands to? Be careful. Be careful, because the enemy is waiting to do to you exactly what he done to Samson. He wants to prevail over you. He wants to bind you. And he will afflict you. And then he's going to make sport of you. And he's going to use sin. Let me tell you, the Bible says sin is for a season. The pleasures of sin is only for a season. It's only to entice you and bring you in. But at the end, it's death and destruction. Choose the right road right now. Stop it right now and call on Jesus and ask him to deliver you. God bless you, and I pray this broadcast will be an encouragement to you. Write me at Trucking for Jesus. I want to hear from you and pray for me that I can keep on keeping on in the name of Jesus. God bless you, and remember, God is faithful. God loves you. He is a God of love, and he has good things in store for you. Choose life today. And let the things of the world go and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless you and have a marvelous day in Jesus.